Welcome back to the podcast. On tonight's Of Steam, Steel, and Murder, we have a Halloween special as I run the gang through Tremulous, an apocalypse world hack of Lovecraftian horror. Our poor players tonight are Richard, Stephen, Eldon, and Joshua. The last Deadlands recordings that was posted has an audio problem where my voice and the players' voices are placed over each other. Once I correct this problem with a handy backup recording, I'll correct the already posted session and the following sessions. Until then, enjoy our Halloween special. All right, guys. Are you ready?
Yep.
Everyone's got the trust set out. All right, so we have just finished up the drunk rush tonight at Whataburger. It was a bit more ruckus than usual, as it's also Halloween night. Not only did the drunks come in, but they brought their kids who are binge eating sugar all night. So they've been bouncing off the walls and chairs. All kinds of unnameable things have been trying to be flushed down your toilets tonight, so cleanup is going to be a bitch. Tonight's crew, and I'll just start my window here. Steven, introduce your character, your position, and who's the most trustworthy person in this establishment?
To me, or
to
I
you.
Am?
To you.
Clearly, I am. I am Travis Allen, playing the Night Manager. Been here for years. I'm going to die here. Sadly. All my employees are my trusted minions. They get 1 point each.
Oh, yeah. Don't tell me the points. But, so they're all your trusted minions. Okay. And what landed you here in this Whataburger establishment?
Well, it's, you know, the first job I ever had. Seems I've been here forever. No one can recall any time in recent memory I have not been employed here. Okay. I'm a fixture in the community. I'm the person that has undying enmity to my customers.
I remember, you have had one job before this, but does anyone know that you're a veteran?
Well, I don't actually have to be a veteran, do I?
No, yes, you were a veteran.
I thought I was just going to.
No. You are a veteran, or you know, that's you. You get a stipend from the government and everything, but people need not know that.
That's my paycheck. I apparently was in the army. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about such days.
All right.
I've seen some things, man.
That was after you got out of the army and joined the...
Pretty much. I kind of reminisce and miss those days when it was not untoward for me to kill the person that annoys me so much.
The only thing saving you all are regulations. He's a stickler for those regulation books.
Company
and look,
regulations.
It's page 3, paragraph 1. It says you can't kill your fellow employees. It says nothing about your guests.
On company time.
All right.
When I fire somebody, I fire them. and let's see, that's about it. Have we rousted out all the loitering crowd yet?
Oh, yeah, you're pushing out the last of the crowd, the last of the drunks, helping them out, trying to make sure they vomit outside instead of inside, because the outside is cleaned by the street cleaners.
Woo-hoo!
All right. Richard, you're next.
I'm Alan Alderman. And I'm a fry cook here. Yeah. They trust me with the hot things. Alan is in his late 30s. When he was 16, on his 16th birthday, he bought a lottery ticket. And he won $40 million on the lottery. And so he found this out while he was in class. So he got up and never went back. It took him 20 years, but he burned through $40 million, and he had no formal educational qualifications, so that's why he's working here now.
I don't know, burning through $40 million in 20
years.
How did
you do that?
That's got to make you...
It's a lot easier than you would think.
Yeah. You can only buy so many yachts.
Yeah. And those Fabergé eggs, they were so tasty. Having them for breakfast every day.
Going to Vegas every day.
Yeah.
All right, keep going.
Who do I trust the most?
How did you get here? What landed you here? Other than you're flat broke and decided you needed some money?
That's it. Needed a job, and this is the only place that would hire an uneducated, uneducated person who drifted into town.
I didn't hire him.
You're definitely not working cash registers. All right, so who do you trust in this place?
Obviously, it's the night manager. Because, I don't know whether it was him or somebody else who saw something in me and said, hey, he can work with hot liquids.
That's the only requirement to be impressed. Can you work with hot liquids?
Can you suffer minimum of burns?
Yep.
From all the drugs that he was able to buy with that $40 million, he doesn't have much in the way of feeling in his hands anymore, you see?
That's a good lad.
He spent it all on yachts and fancy eggs.
All right, Eldon, you're next.
I see. I am playing Patrick Grossman. That was literally the name listed there. Anyway, he is a graduate student who is currently working on his big social science thesis, and the case study he's doing is for this town, essentially. So while he's here, he has a day job. And he has been working here while doing that, and also he really loves cooking. So he likes the other two. They're fine. They're good people. Now the manager is totally willing to sacrifice taste over regulation. So that... He just doesn't trust him.
All right, fair enough. All right, and Joshua.
I am Tempest Wood. I am here because I swear my musical career is almost off the ground. I just need to hold down this job a bit longer so I have some more time to develop it. I've been saying since 2006.
All right. And who do you trust in this place?
I trust Patrick the most because, A, he's a student, so he knows things. At least that's what I'm told. And also, he has the most creative flair with his cooking.
All good things. All right. So, you're the last of the drunks and their hyper children are... streaming out of the Whataburger. It's midnight. Seems to be this is the time when things end up being slow for the rest of the night. Occasionally, you'll get a student in. There is a community college nearby. Occasionally, a student will come in and nurse a single cup of coffee all night. You guys don't mind too much. I mean, they did pay for the coffee, and there's not really a lot going on, but it doesn't happen that often. If it did, someone might have to make a rule about it.
Hey, coffee. Coffee's an art. Patrick, right. You should learn coffee, not none of this grill nonsense.
Okay, I'm with you tonight. Two of the girls are here tonight. The third was sick. Brenda and Nancy are going about doing the floor cleaning. Got the little dust bins and mops and broom going around, just cleaning up all the bits of food, and unfortunately some people did in fact vomit in certain places. They're not too happy about that, so the mop buckets come out.
Well, if we have nothing going on at the moment essentially besides those two cleaning, I asked my other employees, well, nothing's going on. Do you guys have any requests for dinner?
Yeah, this is probably a tradition. After the last of the drunks get out, you guys take your break and have a bit of food.
That's when I go nuts with, like, paprika and all this other crazy stuff that I smuggled in here.
So, Patty, what do you say to trying to do some stir fry on that grill?
Done.
I give him leave to go crazy now.
Sounds good. The Whataburger is pretty much stocked with, you get fresh vegetables every other day. The meats all come pre-formed, pre-packed in cases, coming from your boss's main distributor. They distribute to all of his restaurants, including the Black Dragon, which include things like, burger patties, pork patties, fish that's already been, pre-dipped in a batter for the deep fryers, onion rings, fries, all that. You get a truck twice a week and, you get your vegetables every other day. So, you know, you're actually fairly well stocked, for, you know, your menu has an eclectic choice of different things. It's not just burgers. You know, you do have salads on there. You have fish on there, various things of fried food.
I see. I, pull out my smuggled in uncooked pasta and begin the process of making the stir fry of all the ever meats and ingredients.
Right.
I was expecting you to make the, noodles wholesale from scratch. From ground up bread. Ground up,
I made them
buns
at home.
Man.
Yeah, they don't have a pasta press here, so.
You don't need a pasta press. That's nonsense. That's,
well, if he had worked in one of the Black Dragon restaurants, they would have taught him how to properly toss and spin pasta.
Exactly.
No, unfortunately. Maybe you got one of those training videos smuggled in your last drop shipment of training videos.
Yeah, of course. It's affiliated affiliated brand, fast food chain.
I'm sure that at some time in the past, the deliveries got messed up because of...
Yep.
That's the way things happen. So 1 week,
yep.
Whataburger was serving pasta all week. Yeah. Woo!
The training videos for the Black Dragon are a little odd, though. They're not, they're done with English as subtitled and some strange language being the primary language with these, once again, short Asiatic fellows with overly sharp teeth.
We assume it's Chinese.
Showing you how to prepare meals.
It's not, but we just assume it's like some Asian language.
It's all good. I prefer subtitles.
There you go.
So it's English, is it?
It's English. In the subtitles.
Then it's all time right to put on the comedy video and sit there and watch it while we eat our food. Because, yeah.
Hey, it's Halloween. We have a tradition at this store. You're new, I'll give you a pass this time for not knowing. But it's Ghostbusters, gosh darn it.
Put Ghostbusters up on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Everyone's,
as he says that, I
assume. Vacuum cleaners that look an awful lot like proton packs.
Yes.
There you go.
As they're having this conversation, I shout out and ask how spicy they want their stir fry to be.
Well, as all this is going on, you guys hear the screech of tires out in the parking lot and the very distinctive sound of a car running into something very solid. The car alarm goes off. There are bright set of headlights that are just blaring through the front windows of the Whataburger. Moments later, four guys, you have two entrances in the front of the Whataburger. The only other entrance is through the back. It's the delivery entrance or exit. And there's one more secret place that perhaps the manager doesn't know about, or perhaps he does, but he lets you get away with it anyway. There's roof access where people will sometimes go and smoke.
Employees need their little assumptions.
Right. So two guys coming through each of your front doors, they kind of just barge in. They're wearing kind of urban camo. They have some kind of patch on their shoulder and back. All of them are carrying serious hardware. Two of them have shotguns. The other two have pistols on their sides. Guns in this area, by the way, pretty common sight. They all have John Deere tractor hats on. Two of them are carrying a bundle of very thick chains and look like crowbars. And they rush in. Brenda and Nancy kind of, you know, whoa, step back as they guys come in very quickly. One on each door, the guys start rolling the chain around the door handles and then cramming it closed with a tire iron so that the door can't be opened from the other side. And something that you always wondered about before, the Whataburger establishment looks normal for the most part, but there are things in the architecture you never quite understood. Like, for instance, right now you're noticing the two around the doors on the right and left hand side of the doors, at about hip level, there's always been these two brass looking knobs that stick out. They're not doorknobs. They look kind of like door knockers, but there's no point to them. You're noticing now that the guys are using them to wrap their chains around, and it seems to be perfect for that.
I just always assumed it was to barricade the doors to keep the customers out.
I thought it was to barricade the doors to keep the customers in.
That depends how much you like your customers.
Two of the guys level their shotguns at Brenda and Nancy, who are terrified and laying on the floor. One of them is approaching you. He has no firearm out. One of them is running towards, well, look, two of them are approaching you. One has a shotgun out. One of them is not. He's approaching a little slower. The one with the shotgun hops over your counter and runs to your back door. If you guys want to do anything in the interim,
customers
let me know.
Aren't allowed back here.
You say as he runs yep. by you. And he begins lashing shut your back door. The one guy's...
I bluster up and I say, for the love of God, if you hit my car out there, I will end you.
Who are you talking to? The guy that ran by or the guy that's slowly coming up to you?
The guy who's slowly come up to me.
All right.
Can I say my character does run to the back as he like went to the side to plate all the stuff he's been cooking and doesn't notice someone run behind him?
That's fine. You're completely oblivious. All right, the guy walking up to you kind of slowly... he's got no gun in his hand. He smiles at you. He's a handsome guy, probably in his mid-20s or so. You can see the patch on his shoulder now as he's walking up. It says, "Ghost be gone."
Oh, jeez. Really, bro?
Right, so he looks over your menu. And,
kind of African?
No, he doesn't.
Just check.
He looks over your menu and says, well, let's see. We'll have 4 Whataburgers all the way, 4 gelatinous strawberry shakes, 3 apple pies. What's your soup of the day?
Damn it, he's becoming a customer. God!
And then as he says, soup of the day, your lights go out. Like everything dies for just a second. But Whataburger has a serious set of backup generators that are beneath the establishment that kick on within 5 seconds of the power going up. And whoop, everything comes back on.
I'm like, damn it! I was mid-sentence saying, I'm sorry, the power was... So that was 4... Tempest, get over here, run the register. God.
All right. I will run the register.
All right. The remaining two guys seem to be looking very focused outside the front door windows.
Does, from my extensive customer service experience, does he look, this guy I'm serving, does he look like the kind of person who'd be disposed to chat?
He does, actually. He looks quite affable.
I will smile at him, give him my most winning smile.
Regulations, you're limited to only 2 minutes of customer chat before you have to move on to the next customer. I remind as I pass by.
I'll be ringing around and say, so, is there something we should be worried about?
He looks at you and says, yeah, well, you know, that all depends. What do you think about frogs?
About frogs?
Frogs, yeah. You like them?
I don't have a problem with them. I mean, they're a little bit grubby, but I don't mind them. Why?
Well, what do you think about frogs? Yay high. And he kind of makes a mark about 4 feet. And he rolls up his arm, which is covered in like a bloody bandage, and he kind of unrolls it in front of you. And you see it's about 1 foot wide. It definitely looks like teeth marks, like several rows of teeth, like just took a big bite out of his arm. And have a bite yay big.
Oh, let me get that for you. I'll say after ringing it up and giving the order to him, I'll go and grab the first aid kit.
Appreciate it.
I continue to be oblivious.
Hey, you have some food to make.
No, I meant ignoring them. I take your order. Continue. Okay. I ignore them.
So you're just repeating the order over the microphone, basically.
We have
burgers
a,
all the way.
There should be a monitor serve system where you yes. put it, input it, appears on a screen by the stations.
He's in the zone. The chef zone.
I see. We are getting late, though, with specialty burgers.
All right. Let's see. Who was by the grill? That's your character, Eldon?
Yes.
Okay. Eldon, you look out the drive-through window. And the drive-through window basically just has the window only opens wide enough for you to be able to hand out a bag of goodies. It doesn't open all the way. You just happen to turn your head as you're checking on some of your food, and you see two large lamp-like eyes looking in through the drive-through window. And there's like a suckered wet hand on the window trying to open it further. It's like the height of a kid, you know, about 4 foot tall or so.
Do we have any way to communicate to the front in our station?
You all have, yeah, you all have headsets.
It should also be within shouting distance.
Yeah, yeah, definitely that too.
Boss, I can't tell if it is just that I once again getting high off the fumes of some ingredients I put in here. You know, too bad of a mix. I really shouldn't be in a tight space and smelling it that often. But I think some weird abomination of nature is trying to break in through the fast food window. Could you take a look?
Take a pause to collect myself.
So your guest hears this, of course, because you're having to yell over the fryers and the cooker. And he pulls out his gun, and he starts coming around the counter, looking, you know, basically covering you, Stephen.
I take a moment to collect myself and, you know, calm, even voice. Patrick, have you been huffing the using whippets from the whipped cream canisters again?
No, I decided to use a combination of several jalapeno peppers for the guy who ordered the spicy burger. Thought he'd appreciate it, but, you know, that's a very powerful odor, and when it vaporizes, it can, you know, sometimes cause me to, not see things correctly. By the way, so, I think I'm right, so am I having a mental breakdown?
Well, we'll find out. We'll have our first roll of the night. This is basically a fear roll, which is acting under pressure. You roll two dice and add your reason to it.
Okay. What are the two dice I'm rolling? Just
D6s? 2D6. 2D6. In general, you're looking to get a 7. 7 through 10 is good. Anything lower than 6 is bad. A 10 is a perfect success. 7 to 9 mean you succeed, but with a cost.
11.
Okay, so for 11... Wow, okay, so you did really well.
Glasses plus
you're
one.
Fine. You're fine, yeah. Actually, I think you get a little bonus out of this. Let me look this up real quick. Oh, the horror. 10 plus. Yeah, you act normally. You take no shock. Yeah, it's like, it may be a kid in a costume. It doesn't really affect you any.
He is trying to break in, I think. So, manager, if you do your job, that'd be great.
Damn trick-or-treaters.
Would that
go over
the giant frogs you were talking about?
I go over, open, is it, what kind of window? Usually there's two little windows that open up on a little, kind of like bus lever type thing.
It's a window that slides open from left to right, but it only opens, you know, basically large enough to shove one of the boxes out the window.
So we're a really old establishment.
Yes, the building is old.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, and yeah, you see something that's it's got its head to the window, and the head is bulbous enough that it can't quite get in. It's looking at you with these huge lamp-like eyes. Its tongue is lolling out of its mouth a good 2 feet. It's actually lashing around on the counter, knocking over all the hot sauces and salt and pepper.
I have instructed health and safety risk.
My right. Serve safe regulation certification demands that I pick up the ice scoop and start.
Well, first, I need you to give me a roll here to see how this affects you mentally.
All right. Goodness. I'm using blue, by the way.
Mm-hmm. This is acting under pressure, so you add your reason to your roll.
Add my reason to my roll. And let me see what my reason was. Plus 2, 9.
A 9. Okay. All right. Not quite a full success, but let's see. The horror. 7, 9. Try some of the falling. Give me just a second. Where did it go? There it is. Okay. Take one less shock. Okay, so you're fine. It's only one shock. You take one less shock.
So 0 shock.
Yeah, but you're a -1 for your next the next action you need to roll for.
And so, I gain a point of lore, so this actually works out for me. Because my show is shock. Whenever you take a take shock,
you do not take shock is the thing.
Well, it says you reduce it by 1 point and gain a point of lore.
No, you're looking at the wrong thing. This is the horror. It's a different table. On a 7 and 9, they take one less shock but are -1 forward.
Okay, so I did not take any shock.
You did not take any shock. So you were just, you know, it just upsets you a little bit that your next action is going to be a -1.
God damn it, I'm going to have to restock that.
All right, so what do you do?
Let's see. I am going to lead by example, use my lore point, and do I have anything, say, better than at hand to grab than an ice scoop to stab the frog in the face with?
Sure. There's probably, like, an ice pick there that you use to break off whenever the ice gets stuck in the machine.
Whoa, I mean, more weapon-like, like maybe...
Well, that's a nice sharp weapon.
I was thinking maybe baseball bat or something.
No.
Under the counter.
That's against regs.
Lies. I am the regulations.
Actually, this can be a move, as a matter of fact, if you want to try and find something that might be there. If you roll well enough, it can be there. Let me see. What is this called?
Can I offer him a deal?
Well, hold on a second. Let's find what this is.
Is it poke around?
Poke around.
For anything. Roll plus luck.
Yeah, but remember you're -1 for this roll.
Would I be able to attack immediately after, or?
Sure, yeah.
All right, might as well roll plus luck. My luck is 0, by the way. 7.
Is that including the -1?
No, that would make it a 6.
Ah.
I do not think to grab the mandolin and smash him with it.
Okay, so there's either nothing else in the area, the keeper may hold one to use a hard move at any time, and you may attempt to search further. Okay, so here's the deal. Nothing immediately comes to sight as you're closing in on it. If you want to look further, it will take your whole action.
Nope.
The ice pick is the only easily reachable thing that's a good sharp weapon.
So I'm grabbing the metal ice scoop instead.
Okay.
It's bigger.
All right.
And I plunge it in. Lead by example gives me a +1 if I use a lure. I'll use that lure. And... let me read off what the rest of it says. There it is. +1 to any roll. If you succeed, others present who have trust 1 or greater with me gain a +1.
Okay. Let's see. So you're trying to attack something.
Yes.
Okay, I think an attack is act under pressure.
Resort to violence?
Oh, resort to violence. That's it. Yep, you're resorting to violence.
Plus might, and my might is +2. So I get a +3 to this roll. 9.
A 9, okay.
No, 10.
Okay, read off what a 10 is there. I can't find my chart just yet.
All right, get this back up. Okay, on 10 plus, choose 3. You take a definite hold of it. You suffer little harm, -1. You inflict terrible harm, +1. You impress, dismay, or frighten your enemy.
Okay. So you can choose 3 of those. If you don't choose not taking the damage, it does basically strike back at you.
I suffer little harm. I inflict terrible harm. And, I'm not actually grabbing it. So I impress, dismay, or frighten my enemy.
Okay. Describe what you do. I mean, basically, you frighten it off. You do a little damage to it immediately.
I go, damn trick-or-treaters, grab the ice scoop and just stab it right between the eyes.
So he's imagining that it's still a kid, and he's stabbing it between the eyes.
Wow.
That all somehow makes you all feel extra loyal to him as you get up. bonus.
This is how you treat customers.
Right.
The kids are right, right? He just, like, poked out his costume eyes, right? Right? Thanks, boss.
It was clearly a costume foam head, right? Got smacked
for some reason, I feel a lot more secure with the random people with shotguns.
Yeah, speaking of which,
they seem more sane.
Your home invader rushes to the window after he gets away and slams it closed and it's got a padlock on it, kind of locks it down. He turns to you and says, "You got any other exits or entrance? One of my other guys got your back door. We need to get this place locked down."
You need to calm down, son, and see to the roof access. It's the ladder that leads up there. It's hatch on the roof.
Okay, he looks over to one of his men that are guarding the door and points at the roof access. And that guy runs over to it.
I see. At this point, can their burgers and stuff be finished just so my character can walk out and go, "Boss, I thought we weren't allowed to have people behind the preparation line. Also, why is everyone armed?"
Apparently, they're health inspectors.
You live in the rural South. Armed people, not usually that big of a deal, but...
I'm dealing
with... Yeah, but they're behind the counter.
Yeah, that's more the thing.
They're behind
very
the
unsanitary.
Counter.
Very unsanitary.
Right now, they've already barricaded the doors. I'm in the process of kicking them out. I'm about to ask them to leave. Slow your roll.
We're not leaving, he says. Why don't you give your boss a call?
I am the boss.
You're not the boss. Give him a call.
Totally the boss. I grumble as
I place their food on like the plastic tray and just put it next to the counter, walk back over to the upper employees and just whisper, "Are we being robbed?"
Oh, he looks, nice burger. I forget how good your establishment is.
Do we have any idea who Ghost Be Gone are meant to be?
There's a bunch of paranormal research, quote-unquote, organizations in the area. It's all gotten really big since all of those TV shows have been on.
All right, so it's still... skeptic.
Yeah.
It's not proven fact or anything at the moment.
Oh, no, they'd like you to think otherwise, but no, it's not, you know, whether or not you believe in that sort of thing is completely up to you, your character. There's no proof of anything out there. It's just, in this area, there's all kinds of stories of ghosts and haints and things that go bump into the night.
Well, I, huff up being told I'm not the boss and trudle back to my manager's closet where I do all the paperwork and such. And use the phone there.
All right, so when you need to get a hold of the boss, he has his own private line. You hate using the thing. It is ancient. It is it's a black box. It's got a rotary dial on it. It's got a wire that goes somewhere into the back wall. I mean, you really don't even know what it connects to, really. But what you really hate about it is every time you use a rotary dial, you always nick your fingers. Always.
Well, I have that finger, so it's like, it's always reminding me to go back to PT and get back in shape, but I'm like, oh, god damn it, oh! So I dial the number.
All right.
From memory.
Yes. And as usual, after you dial it, there's this kind of buzzing in the background that sounds like a modem trying to connect. But every once in a while, you swear you can hear certain words and all that fast-moving jumble of noises. Yah, yah. Cthulhu, Cthogan, yeah.
Is that usual, Vlad from Magicka?
It rings three times. The other end, you hear a very friendly voice. Hello! Store number 1693. To who am I speaking?
It's Travis.
Travis, one of my best, he looks down, shift managers at store 1693. What can I do for you this evening?
We have intruders. They're behind the counter. They got guns. They want to talk to you. They do not respect my authority.
Put them on the line.
All right. I lean way back out of the closet. It's not that big. I just have to tilt my chair back.
Yep.
And I point at, you know, the affable guy and then the guy that's not him and say, you come here to talk to the boss.
All right. Guy comes over. Your fingers are bleeding again. They always bleed after you do this. It's quite annoying.
I go super glue my fingers.
Wait, you one of his one dialing finger is bleeding from a nick, or all of his fingers are suddenly bleeding for some reason?
Just his dialing finger.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I couldn't be, you know, clued into this and, you know, like, use a pencil to dial this phone?
Oh, every time you've tried that for some reason, it just never connects right?
Son of a bitch.
All right. So the guy goes on the phone, and you can hear the conversation, so you're standing there. He says, yeah, boss. Yes, we found the site. Lost 3, sir. Do we have permission to open the locker? Oh, the shift manager has it, huh? Okay. What do we do about, okay. He covers the phone and he calls over to, shift manager. He says, hey, can you flip this over to the loudspeaker?
Of course I can. I've been here for ages. I like do, interface the archaic intercom system. Yes.
Okay. And, so now everybody hears him talking over the intercom. He says, yeah, boss, kind of froggish looking 4-foot rows of teeth. Yeah, we lost a few. Bites seem to be poisonous. Yeah, team leader got bit, but he seems to be doing okay. We think we got the venom out in time. All right. Yeah, loudspeaker's on. Yeah, everyone's hearing you now. All right. And then over the phone comes this kind of guttural chanting. The voice seems to have several octaves on it going at once. So it sounds like it's the voice of two or three people coming through. But the voice itself is kind of distinctive. So, like, it's kind of this ululating throat sound. and out in the darkness, through the windows, you see a lot of these lantern-like eyes kind of stepping back, fleeing back a little bit. And the ululation stop. The guy picks up the phone. So, okay, you can turn off the speaker now.
Okay. One switch. So much easier to disengage.
Okay. You're still overhearing, though, but it's not being broadcast to everyone else. Yeah, boss, we got the item. What do we do? Sit tight? Okay, do we have permission to... Okay, so he's got the key. All right. Thank you, sir. He hangs up.
I'm not supposed to open the locker, I say.
Well, boss says you can open the locker now.
I can open the locker?
He says to open the locker.
But the locker's never to be opened.
Well, special circumstances, son. It needs to be opened now.
Oh, damn it.
Did we hear him say, hey, you can open the locker over the thing?
They're talking out in the open, so yeah, everybody back there can hear it.
No, did we hear the boss say over the intercom, hey, you can open the locker now?
No, you did not.
But I have...
That locker.
I imagine the locker. Everybody knows the locker.
Yeah, it's strange. The locker is in the meat cooler. It's a square on the back of the meat cooler that's got like an old lock on it, and nobody knows what's back there.
It's like, shout out, guys, we're opening the locker.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah, there's a pool going on what's behind that locker.
And
I wanted to.
Stalwart regulations guy has never cracked it and opened the locker. He's been tempted, mighty tempted. But now we open the locker.
It's part of a human body.
Can I just check on the two cowering women?
They've just sat down and are smoking inside now. Complete violation of ethical code, but
I'm gonna have to smack the cigarettes right out their mouth.
When you notice. You're in the back right now.
When I notice. I grab a can of de-icer because, you know, it's in the meat locker. So it's frozen over. Gotta make sure it's all iced in. Or is it like one of those really old keys or something?
Yep, it's pretty old.
So I grab like a can of WD-40 and the de-icer. De-ice it, WD-40. Right.
What's everybody else doing?
Is the guy who had the injured arm, which arm is it? Is it his gun arm?
It is not. It's his left arm. First aid kit's still laying out there. He hasn't really tended it yet.
I'm going to try and tend to it, and and try and use some kind of objects to use a makeshift brace so that if he needs to hold the gun accurately, it'll be slightly easier with, like, cooking tongs and things.
It's the board. It's like this ridiculously long board that's attached to the key so that people can use the restroom.
Yes. He has that strapped into the bandage so that if he needs to brace, he can.
I tell you what, while you are working on his arm there, let me make you do, let's see, give me a roll plus reason. So 2d6 roll plus your reason.
I have no reason.
Gosh, how do you keep doing this?
I'm a man of passion. And affinity. Oh. Is there a reroll system in this game?
No. What's your total?
3.
Okay. No, it's don't really notice anything special. Let me see what happens on 6. Take 1. Okay. Nah, nothing special. So, you bind his wound. It's like a nasty, nasty bite.
At least I haven't made it worse.
Yeah, I'm going to join the boss to go check out what's in the Mystic Meat Locker.
Right. I have just been doing my job diligently. I have not really been paying attention to it. All
right, so you're doing your nightly chores. You're actually straining the hot grease right now.
I was about to say the same thing.
While I'm dealing with this guy's bandage, could I just ask him, so what is in the locker?
Well, depends. Let's see. He seems to think for a minute. In this region, probably guns, some first aid kits, maybe some communication devices.
Oh. That seems useful.
No, they always are. Wait a minute. You don't know what's in the box?
I don't. I don't know if they do.
What's your clearance?
I have 6 years, 8 years experience working the front desk, and certified food handler.
He looked confused for a moment, and he says, Oh, you actually work in the establishment. Oh.
Yes, I think we all do. I take it you work for the boss in a different way.
You could say that, yeah. He lights up a cigarette. Want one?
There's a reason why I didn't raise a fuss about them going behind the counter. They're actually
employees. No, thanks.
Not that you knew that, but you're going to go with that.
That's my quickly applied reason, and I'm sticking to it.
Right. All right, Eldon, what are you doing?
I'm following to the meat locker. This
you're
is exciting.
As well. All right, so you go to the back of the meat locker, and you push aside the sides of meat. I don't say beef because it doesn't really look like beef. It's just a hunk of meat that you run through the meat grinder. It makes damn tasty burgers, though, whatever the hell it is.
We actually have to grind our own meat?
Ah, for the Whataburger special, yes.
God.
You get the preformed, prepackaged meats for other things. But the Whataburgers are special. That makes them the best in all the town.
Yes, we don't care about prions at all.
Right, so you push the racks aside, and you've got this 3x3 cube on the back wall, and it's got a lock or a keyhole right in the middle. And you're part of your duty is to always have this key on your person.
Well, I go about de-icing the lock, WD-40ing the lock, give it a 5 seconds, work its way through, make sure it's all warm, and then I turn the key in the special sequence that they taught me.
There is a chunk sound. And you kind of hear inside, you're not exactly sure where the voice is coming from, but it says, voice recognition, please state your name and rank. And before you can say anything, the guy with you says, Sheldon, R1654. Voice recognition, pass. And you hear a sliding sound as the metal in the wall kind of pulls in and then drops. And inside is basically a 4-foot deep cubby hole. And there are, he starts pulling out, you know, there are guns, there are rifles, there are little square boxes of things that look like Play-Doh. There is a backpack rig of some sort that he pulls out as well. You're just looking as he's pulling all this hardware.
My years of military experience as a plus on the application.
Oh, yeah, I forget. You're a veteran. Yeah. That's plastic explosive. Mm-hmm. That's a few AKs right there. That's a field satellite radio in the backpack.
Mm. Oh, the backpack was a field satellite radio.
Yep. Okay. And then at the very end of it, he pulls out a very worn leather-covered book. Oh, and by the way, the inside of this cubby hole seems to be warm. It's heated.
Well, naturally, you don't want to keep guns at.
Yes. I'm running out of hands here. Hey, can you grab that last AK and that strap of explosives for me?
Yep. I grab a few extra strap on some stuff.
Yeah.
The empty clips and the boxes of ammunition, because, you know, you don't store them already in the clips.
Oh, don't forget the book in the back. We'll need that.
This other stuff, I understand. I don't know what the book's about, but all right.
All right, so to everyone else, yeah, Eldon, you're seeing this too. Actually, he just takes a handful of these AK rifles and just, here, arms out. It dumps them in your arms.
Oh, yep, Eldon, excuse me.
Patrick.
What is your name? Patrick, thank you.
Patrick, okay.
I don't have my list of names up. Patrick, arms out, hold up. Chunk, 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 and AK weighs about 12 pounds each, I think.
Somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there. So, you know, one, two, three. I look at you oddly.
You're thinking to the application where it says that the people under consideration need to be able to lift and move 50 pounds of weight.
Yeah, but, you know, it's Patrick. He's always been kind of noodle-wristed.
I'm a free spirit. Yeah, so okay.
Better learn how to cap an ass.
Let's see. Who was tending the one guy?
That would be me.
Tempest.
Tempest. All right. All right. So yeah, you get the antibacterial cream smeared on there, and you get a new bandage on. The wound wasn't bleeding much at this point. It just like is really the flesh is all ragged and torn up around it. You notice that he's sweating, really profusely, considering that you guys keep your AC on at about 68 degrees in here.
Are you okay? You seem to be sweating quite a bit.
Oh, am I? He wipes his brow. It's like, shit. where's your bathroom? He notices the key dangling from the board on his arm. Oh, I'll be right back.
Customers only, I say automatically.
They bought food, I say.
Did they actually pay for it, or did they just take
it? Oh, no, he hadn't paid yet. Yeah, he takes his wallet out, leaves it on the counter, and says, yeah, take what you need.
That's better.
he goes off into the men's room.
And I come out of the meat locker strapped.
Yeah.
But Patrick comes out just kind of confused, holding piles of AKs.
I completely expected those to be there. It's like, yep. That's what I thought.
One of the other guys says, anybody here got experience with guns? If so, arm up. We may need them.
Nope, not me.
Just the manager, of course. Move around.
Why do you guys always underestimate me? How do you think I've made my case study? You gotta learn from the natives if you want to get interviews.
All right, Richard, you're pumping the boiling oil back into the bin. Mm-hmm. What were you gonna say?
We once had a frog in the fryer. It didn't last very long. Might not need any guns.
Ah, that frog was delicious.
All right, you ate that?
I just put it in that bun for a laugh. I didn't realize you actually ate it.
Oh. It's a delicacy.
Did I hear when they said that thing about venom?
No.
Okay.
So, what are we doing here? Where did they come from? Is this part of the training? I don't remember seeing this in my induction.
Did you not watch the video about magazine loading?
Is that the video?
Strangely enough, there was a training video on small arms. You figured it was just one of his other concerns that taught gun safety at the time.
Always put the gun away from yourself.
Did you watch the video on magazine loading? I ask again more clearly. I signed off on it. You said you did.
I don't remember the corporate videos. I mean, come on.
I did, boss. Less celebrities. I'm putting a gun.
All right. I dropped the box of magazines.
The two girls raised their hands out in the lobby, and they're smoking cigarettes.
Nancy, Brenda, put out those cigarettes before I turn around and smack them out your mouth. Get over here and start loading mags. Here's the loader. Here's the mags. Here's the bullets. Bullets go into the loader, into mag. Flip the little switch, makes it fast.
They are muttering to themselves as they're walking to you, Brenda, saying, I think that was sexual. I think I'm going to make a complaint.
Make all the complaints you want.
Did he say he was going to smack you? I definitely think you should take this to the cop. So they come up, they grab the AKs, they grab the clips, and they slot it, and they seem to have watched the video.
Who didn't watch the video? I help.
I don't remember.
Oil machine, not proudly of my employees.
I must have been sick that day, sir.
Well, this is an ample training time, then. Watch, learn, monkey see, monkey do. Let's go.
So you guys are all in the middle of the kitchen. You're moving all this firepower around. You hear on the roof a couple things thump on the roof. The roof has got a gravel top on it. It kind of helps with the rain filtering and all that. It's also a great place to put out your butts when you smoke. But you hear the latch rattle. It is a metal capped basically a metal cap that is padlocked from your side. And so it rattles with the padlocks holding it. You can hear kind of the deep-throated, burbly sounds on the roof.
Well, I take, the first loaded magazine and arm up a AK, cycle the bolts, get the first bullet in. Direct my troops, employees, in their assigned tasks. I want two fields of fire. I want covering angles from here and here. Watch those points of egress.
All right, so you're giving out tactical orders. Meanwhile, Brenda says out, hey, the whole town's down. There's no lights out there.
That may be a result of the army of mutant frogs that are evidently about to attack us.
And we don't know what they are. They might be just some odd, unspecified species native to these parts no one's ever documented before.
Shouldn't we call the police or something?
That is actually a great point. Why haven't we done that?
If you worked for the police and you were told, help, I'm in a burger joint under assault by an army of giant mutant frogs, how do you think they would react?
I wouldn't phrase it like that. I'd say there's a bunch of people in costume attempting to assault the restaurant. Duh.
Which is why we broke out the secret store of heavy-duty weapons that we keep in all our establishments.
Exactly, Tempest. Patrick?
Well, one of the girls
There's a reason we use the code word damn trick-or-treaters.
One of the girls says, well, it really depends on how far into the bottles Randy's gotten so far. Randy's the chief of police. They'll probably believe anything around midnight.
It's also Halloween. They'll believe Army of Frogs. Go ahead, Cole. Lion's probably dead.
All right. Yeah, she picks up the phone. No dial tone. She picks out her cell phone. No bars. That's unusual because there's a cell phone tower just behind your establishment.
See, I already tried that. I lie convincingly. I'm on top of things, guys. Don't worry. Just follow my lead.
So the other three guys are kind of milling around, checking your entrances and your exits. Nothing else has tried to come at those yet. But in your roof, they're kind of looking around. One of them says, hey, where's Matic? Where's our other guy?
He went to the bathroom.
Ah. All right.
What was the status?
He was sweating a bit.
Sweating?
Yeah.
They both kind of look at each other. Did he seem a little off?
I'm going to go check on him.
I'll go check on him. He puts his rifle down, draws his pistol, and heads off towards the bathroom area.
What kind of rifle do they have?
Same. AKs.
All right.
This is an AK party, apparently.
Well, actually, no, I'm sorry. They were shotguns. They both came in with shotguns.
I look at the shotgun jealously, and, you know, I'm like, got my AK, got the shotgun, AK, shotgun, trying to decide which one I really want. Mm-hmm. I stick with the AK for now. Firepower and speed, you know, reliability.
Mm-hmm. All right. After a few minutes, you hear the sounds of gunfire coming from back where the bathrooms are. They cease quickly. There's a short scream that's cut off.
I wait for whoever to come back.
A human-sounding scream? Or?
It's like the guy was screaming, and then it's cut off very quickly. Or a guy was screaming.
Patrick takes up his covering position in the safest potential spot in the restaurant.
That's where I directed him to.
I just wander over to one of the guys who burst in and say...
Did that sound like Maddox or the other guy?
Cameras? He looks around. You've got cameras?
Well, this is... We're being punked.
Oh, you do have a camera. He points at your surveillance camera in the corner.
You've been punked or something. It's Halloween. You come in wearing this stuff. Where? I don't allow my face to be shown on television. I make that explicitly clear. Wave in the general direction of wherever the cameras are.
Sir, we're not filming you. This isn't a show. Damn, it'd make a good one, though. Hold on a minute. He pulls out a notebook and starts writing things down.
I snap my fingers at him. Quick, what's your name?
Sam.
Last name?
Donovan? It's right here. He points at his insignia.
I'm just making sure the name matches the uniform. Donovan, you said?
Yeah.
Alright. And Maddox was the ill one?
Yeah. He's our cell leader. Okay, so as you were saying this...
And who went to go check on him?
Everybody starts hearing this loud kind of guttural croaking sound coming from back down the hallway where the bathrooms are.
Of course we do.
And what did you just ask?
Who was it that went to check on Maddox?
Tim Bradshaw.
Tim Bradshaw. Right.
He was going to retire tomorrow, actually. This was his last night out with us.
Oh, no!
Well, he should have taken the shotgun. Alright, Donovan, take point. We got a frog to kill, and I don't mean no damn Frenchie.
Alright, guys, so as you're... we still have the unbeliever here looking around for the cameras. Some of you are arming up. What are you doing? What is everyone else doing?
What's Taking Patrick up the doing? Safest covering position in the restaurant that proposes least amount of danger to me. And
oh, yeah, that's,
probably
that's,
more dangerous.
That's behind the grill. Yeah, that's definitely behind the grill. That thing is a solid piece of metal.
Yep, and also...
Is it an electric grill or gas grill?
It is electric. Okay. It is not gas.
Just
I've been
checking.
Asking for a gas for years.
Joshua.
Now you're happy that it won't explode when shot at.
What is Mr. Tempest Wood doing?
I am going to be retreating behind something like the counter.
Okay.
That might protect me. I do not know how to use guns, and I would rather not accidentally shoot my allies.
And Alan, you still looking around for the cameras?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is... stunning production.
If he's still looking for the cameras, I'm dragging him with me.
Hey, get off, man. Jeez.
Down.
Right. Okay, so all of you are looking down the hallway. The girls have got their guns out, too. They're kind of more, they're taking positions off to the left a little bit. And everyone's looking down the hallway. You can hear the riveting. And everyone's looking down. And riveting is getting louder. And everyone's kind of focused down the hallway. And it runs across the ceiling on its gluey, padded fingers out of the hallway. People are kind of surprised at the fact that it's on the ceiling as it drops down into your midst. In fact, it drops right down on poor Brenda.
No!
No! She was the attractive one.
They're all attractive here.
Yes, we are.
Do a combat roll out of the way. Nope, sacrificing Brenda in the process.
Hell, did I close my...
Good job.
From my safe position that totally screws over all my allies but keeps me safe, can I fire on the frog from behind the electro grill?
Give me just a second here. I closed down my cheat sheet.
No cheating for you.
You can usually see the lobby from the grills in most restaurants.
So yeah, you just can't see that back where the bathrooms are, but it's came out into the main area.
I see. Well, now, since clearly it is demonstrated it is not human unless it is very good costume, I think it's time to open fire.
All right. That's so what you all see is it drops down onto the ceiling right onto Brenda. Before it lands, it envelops her head and her shoulders, and it starts just swallowing her whole. Her gun is going off into the air, shooting into the ceilings. As you can hear her kind of trying to scream as the thing is just trying to suck her down. All right, so this is kind of a traumatic experience here.
Yeah.
As in mental health. So real quick here.
If I'm behind the counter in relation to the bathroom, where is she?
She is out in basically the lobby. It ran out into the lobby.
Okay.
So are we acting under pressure right now, or is this a different thing?
Yeah, this is, the role is,
trying to resist something frightening is, act under pressure.
Act under pressure. It just uses a different chart for it. So yeah, everybody act under pressure, which is role plus reason.
13.
You're fine.
Well, let me see. That's, 8 plus, what is my reason? So many windows. My reason?
Nine.
I have a 10.
Okay, you're fine too. So everybody sees what's going on. Richard, since you're still thinking that this is a some kind of production, you could add plus one to your roll.
Yeah, I was just looking. I messed up my thing.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I used my special ability, lead by example. Mm-hmm. If I succeeded, which I did. Those who have trust one or greater in me gain a plus one. Mm-hmm. Does that still apply, or is that gone by now?
It's gone. It's just like the first bit afterwards.
Okay.
Is that a plus one to the next roll, or a plus one to that trust? Or
It's a plus one to the next roll.
Right, okay. Well, given that this is the next roll...
For some of you, yes.
Anything.
Yeah.
That's a 10 for me.
Okay, good.
Still... Nothing. Oh, no,
you
it's
act normally.
Bad. It's a 9. No, I'm wrong. I can't head out.
Okay, so with a 9, you still aren't shocked, but you are fascinated, so you've got a minus 1 forward, so minus 1 to your next action.
How do they do that? I mean, they're putting a CGI in immediately. That's amazing.
Things even... Look at that tongue moving around. It's got bile.
Oh, that's good. You're pulling out all the stops, I say, slapping the guy on the back.
That's good. He's just looking horrified. All right, how did you do, Eldon?
13.
All right, and Steven?
I had a 10.
All right, Joshua?
I have a 9.
Right, Joshua, you're fine. You're not shocked at all. You're 9 is 1 to your next action, but you cannot act normally right now. Those of you that get 10 or better, what do you do?
I opened fire on the giant frog that killed Brenda.
Well, it's still chewing on Brenda.
Brenda's dead.
He goes, I'm not dead yet.
Brenda's the last cause. Open fire.
She's still literally got her finger on the gun and shooting bullets into the air. She's still hitting it with her other hand.
After coming out of my cool like that combat role, I'm probably the closest one to the frog.
Yes!
Do I have kind of a clear shot that, you know, Brenda's kind of off to the side? I'm not
Brenda's halfway down its gullet, so...
I'm going to, like, take out its kneecaps, I suppose.
All right, so you're going to make a...
I'm going to shoot waist down.
Shot. Okay, let's see. This is...
I'm in my cool like that combat crouch.
Darn it, where is the move? Not all my moves are on.
I assume resort to violence, unless there's
it is resort to violence. Since you're trying to shoot its leg specifically and not harm Brenda, take a minus one to the roll.
Minus one to the roll. Does the gun itself do any modifiers?
No, it just does modifiers to the damage, not to the roll.
All right. Just roll 2d6. Still might. All right. Nope.
I got a 12, I take by out. The way, to shoot the frog.
What did you roll?
6-6.
No, hold on. I'm just, you guys are getting ahead of each other. Steven, what did you end up rolling?
I rolled minus one, you said?
Yep.
4!
Oh my gosh. You unload your clip right into Brenda.
I told you Brenda's a lost cause.
She was the one now. That was commenting about sexual harassment, too.
You hit exactly what you were aiming for.
Oh, no, I have missed.
All right, Patrick Grossman, what are you doing, Eldon?
I am shooting the frog.
It's like, look, yep, he took care of Brenda. Now I can take care of the frog.
Well, there are no innocents in the field of fire anymore.
The others were hesitating because of her.
All right, well, you don't have the minus one since I don't guess you really care about Brenda anymore. She's pretty dead.
Yeah, and I did get a 12 on the roll. Natural.
12 on the roll, okay. So, you blow its what passes for its brains out.
Yeah.
Now, you can't help but notice it still has the shreds of camouflage, city camouflage clothing on. It's they're the torn out boots from... field boots that were on the guy that had his arm bitten.
I make a mental note that somehow, although this is the most bullshit pseudoscience, it can somehow infect people.
Yep. Nancy starts screaming, "You killed Brenda!
Brenda was already dead!
She was a lost cause!"
Yeah, she's freaking out.
And remember, Nancy, no smoking inside the store. All right, that takes care of Maddox.
Let's see. By the way, I would totally like to impress the frog if it's still alive with one of my choices. For to get that shot, I lined up the gun on top of my wonderful electric grill, gave the good grill a nice pat, and went, "We got this."
The frog gives you a fist bump before it dies. Good shot.
From across the room, fist bump. How about just the thumbs up?
Yeah.
All right, let's check on Bradshaw, see if he's either dead or infected.
Oh, yeah, he's dead. His head's been chewed off.
Ooh.
Strip him of his sidearm and ammo. He doesn't need these anymore.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Nancy, get to you. I know you already mopped. See to this mess. Clean it up again.
All right. So the other two guys, they've broken out the field radio and they've set up the satellite phone. They're trying to Section 19. We need backup. Damn it! I've got no tone. They're blocking us.
I pick up a shotgun so I can cock it menacingly while saying, "I'm all the backup you need."
They murmur to each other, these guys just worked here, right? I guess it's part of the screening process. He's kind of crazy.
To be hired, you had to be a bit psychotic.
I'm going to go over to Nancy and say, so are you in on it too? You and Angus?
Nancy has her throat's gone dry from the screaming. She's still trying to scream, but nothing's coming out. Her eyes are wild. She's got a knife out, and she's like keeping everybody away from her. So as you come by to ask her, she's like brandishing a knife at you.
Wow, you're really good at this. You're committed to the role.
Get it together, Alderman. You would have noticed anyway, putting in cameras.
Well, they did it during the day.
You're right, we do sleep during the day, that's right, right. Very good point, very good point. You work here, you would have noticed any changes in the store, wouldn't you?
Just look at the corpse already. You can tell if it's not human or not.
Why don't you taste the blood? It's probably strawberry jelly.
Okay, don't do that.
No.
We do not want to deal with another one of them.
Yeah, it's a great looking animatronic. I mean, the blood is still spurting out of its neck.
Can't be real, right?
You can do anything with CGI these days.
CGI is post-production.
Where's the computer?
I don't know. Look, don't ask me these things. I didn't pass just computer class school.
I know you're just a temp employee, but come on. Get it together.
What do you do if you think CGI is done in real time?
I've seen the movies. It's all up there on the screen. Yeah, come on.
You say you dropped out of school, right? I'm
sorry,
back
but
to
you
Bradshaw.
Are my least favorite form of insanity.
I turned back to Donovan. I'm sorry. I just train them. I don't hire them.
You totally hired me. What are you talking about?
Well, look,
you're the one. That I put in the recommendation for. But don't let it get to your head, Grossman.
Wow. He says, look, here's the deal. We just got to last through till morning. These things can't be out and about during the daytime.
What happens during the daytime?
He scratches his head. Honestly, I'm not sure. Was there a book back there?
It's on the counter.
Yep. He starts rifling through the book. Starts, you hear him mumbling to himself. Anatomy, quadruped, type frog, amphibian. What are frogs? Amphibians or reptiles?
Amphibians.
Amphibians.
Ooh, that looks like it. He starts reading in the book.
Out loud, please.
Okay. Loathsome species, degenerate man, followers of the Dark Queen, don't like sunlight or fire.
Sounds like hippies.
Poisonous bite, but if you live through it... so that's how they reproduce. Ugh.
Still sounds like hippies.
Should we be burning the corpses?
He's reading the book. Who's over there with him?
I'm there with him.
Mm-hmm. All right. You notice that he's reading the book, and he keeps looking over at his friend just every once in a while, and you notice that he's pulling out his pistol slowly.
Okay. Which friend?
The one guy that's left.
Is that the guy that went to check on...
No, he's dead.
No, he's dead. This is the guy that went onto the roof to make sure that everything was locked down.
This is the only guy we don't have a name for.
Yep.
What's the name on his shirt?
You want to go over there?
I can just read it off his name tag, shouldn't
I? You're seeing the back, which is just showing you the Ghost Be Gone logo, but you don't see the front where his name tag is.
I just want to eye him for any potential, any rips in the clothing or...
Right, this is trying to find information.
Any potential bites?
That's not poker.
Actually,
puzzle
if
things
I can...
out. Yeah, it's puzzle things out.
Actually, could I, when his ally is reading out about how they reproduce, can I actually look to see if he suddenly looks nervous?
Oh, yeah. He's nervous, and you see him, he's slowly trying to pull out his pistol, and every once in a while, he'll look over at his buddy.
Oh, the guy who went to the roof is pulling out the pistol.
No. Sorry, it's the guy who's reading is pulling out the pistol.
Okay, Sam, no, Donald. I want to look to see if the guy who went outside is looking nervous when
yep,
he's
that's
reading
a,
out.
That's a puzzle things out roll.
Okay, gotcha.
Yep.
Putting a note that says
it's a roll plus reason.
Wouldn't that be read a person?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I was going for.
Yeah, read a person. Sorry. Yep.
Okay.
That's plus what's passion. That?
Passion. Cool. I'm good at passion. I'm very passionate. 4, 5, 6, 7, 9.
Okay, let's see. Sorry, I don't have all my things in one place here. Read a person. They don't put it all in one place. I didn't get a chance to make me a little screen of my own here.
Read a person roll plus passion. When you read a person in a charged interaction roll.
Here it is, yep. So you rolled a 9?
Yes.
Okay, so you can ask one question. So the questions you can ask are from this list, what are they telling the truth? What are they really feeling? What do they intend to do? What do they wish I would do? How could I get them to blank? So you can ask one of those questions.
And that's not a literal question. That's a question to the GM, right?
Yeah, and then I tell you about.
Okay.
Then I tell you the answer.
I want. What are they really feeling?
Okay. he's a lefty, apparently, meaning his left hand and hip are away from the guy reading the book. And so what those people don't say is he's got his gun in his hand.
Oh!
And you're pretty sure he's going to try and off his buddy.
So they're both going to try and off each other. Well, and I didn't see any sort of, any visible bites on either of them.
Nothing visible, no.
Okay, in that way I have absolutely no idea how to tell which one. Well, great. I'm going to try and just surreptitiously position myself between them, so they couldn't actually get a good shot off right now.
All right. So who's over by the guy that's reading?
I guess I've wandered over for the moment.
All right. You trying to read over his shoulder, or what are you doing? Just listening to him?
I was listening to him while, you know, looking around for... Okay,
so you're not reading over his shoulder then. All right. So he gets to the part about how they reproduce, and then he does the, oh. Then, you know, he's reading
say,
further down.
Yeah, and?
Oh, nothing important. He just starts mumbling more things about, your eyes hypersensitive to light, difficult to kill. Yep. You notice he now has his gun in his lap, in his right hand, underneath the table that he's sitting on. He keeps looking over to where, you now notice that, let's see, who was it? Eldon, was that you who got in between?
No, I didn't.
That was Josh's character.
Okay, so Travis is standing between him and his buddy.
Travis? I am? What?
Tempest.
Tempest. The guy that you're trying to stick to there, by the way, just, you know, he's just whistling and he's trying to move around you, but he's not really forcing the issue. So, like, every time he takes a step, you take a step with him.
Yeah. Does he seem to be sweating at all?
Yes, he does.
Okay, I'm just going to look to the guy who doesn't appear to be sweating.
Okay, so you look over to the guy that's reading a book. All right.
Turns your back on the enemy, Shane.
He kind of catches your eye and kind of, with his head, he's kind of motioning you to move out of the way.
Okay, I will move out of the way.
All right. They both try to shoot each other.
Of course they do. This was inevitable.
Yes, exactly. All right, so GM doesn't roll dice for anything, so they both kill each other.
Oh!
They're both headshots.
Well, that's well, great.
Oh my gosh, they just shoot each other?
Yeah.
I grab the book and try and see, flick through.
Amazing special effects there.
I was
going
to say, this
amazing.
Is... Wow, I'm really dedicated to this.
The brains are splattered on your freezer.
By the way,
I go back to the
So long as they're cleaning it up and not us.
Okay, gentlemen, excuse me, I gotta make a call into corporate.
I grab the book.
Before you do that, boss, I heard something about fire. Should we start burning corpses?
Tell you what.
I would have burned. What? Oh.
I grab the book and look for any mention of having to destroy bodies.
All right. You first thing you
team
come across
is... Team up with the Tempest. Look, get that information. Find out what to do. Then proceed. I got to make a call to the corporate. All
right, you're going to call corporate. Someone's going to dig for information.
I'm going to look for trapdoors because that's obviously how they've substituted in these fake bodies here. Like somebody got shot and then while I wasn't looking, they ducked out a trapdoor or something. So, yeah.
Check for traps.
All right. Yeah. So you're poking around, which is a roll plus luck. The guy looking through the book for information is roll plus reason.
Of course it is.
Let's get you guys to do those first. Let's do Richard's yours first as you poke around.
All right. I got a thing for that. Where's my plus luck then?
Trevor.
When I poke around... Oh, well, let me press the die roll button. That's poking around. It's luck. I've got 2 luck. So I have... That's a 10.
A 10.
My 7 plus, I also find a minor thing in addition to anything else I might find.
All right. So select one of the following for your 10. You can find one good item, my choice. One miter item, your choice. A clue... and you can pick one from the table 7 to 9, which can be find a hidden area, find a minor item, or determine a physical hazard present. So you have to choose one thing.
I will take.
I mean, if you were trying to find a hidden area, you certainly could.
Yeah,
find
I'm trying. I was looking around for trapdoors that they were obviously hiding under. So find a hidden area / threshold.
Okay, and exactly what you're brought to is, you know, thinking about the lock, the safe in the freezer that everyone knew about, you always thought there was something suspicious about your pantry area. Like, you've paced it off a few times, and it's definitely shorter than it should be. Like, there's a section of it that may be false.
This is where they're recording all the stuff. It's all being broadcast into here. It's a hidden room with recording equipment for the cameras, obviously. And I also find a minor item thanks to my King of the Road thing.
Okay. What is your minor item that you find in the pantry?
Keeper's choice.
You want to have a good item then. All right. I'll tell you, here's what you're going to find. So you find the can of beets that no one has touched since forever. It's dated 10 years ago. And it's a number 10 can of beets that's been on this lower shelf. No one touches it. and you decide to move it out of the way. And so when you do, it trips a kind of a fulcrum, and the back wall of produce kind of swings, and you can kind of see that there's a room behind it.
Huh.
And when that happens, the room's initially dark, but then some lights start coming on. And the lights are highlighting what looks to be a stone altar that has all kinds of odd glyphs and writings carved into it. The top of the altar has what looks like a blood trough that goes down into a bronze or a copper bowl at the bottom.
The can of beets aren't attached to the shelf.
No, it is not. It's actually a lever.
So I'm going to take the can of beets with me.
Okay.
Because... they're obviously a amazing weapon now or something. I'm just going to clutch them in fear and go and take a look at this altar, I guess.
Most of the script on the stone is completely illegible, except for the very top. It says, Whataburger, dedicated 1998.
That has to be older than that. Jeez. 1998?
Yep.
Store's less than 20 years old.
How long did you say your character had been working here?
I guess it's since this store actually opened, but...
it's the date's about 20 years ago, then we'll say. It was dedicated before you
Yeah, you don't want to date your game, Bert.
Yeah.
20 years previous to whenever you're listening to this.
Right. Dated 19-something.
The good item you find is an odd blade that's got a... It seems to be heavy. It's either bronze or copper. It's got a kink about halfway along the blade where it kind of curves in like a kukri.
Oh, wow. Okay. Huh. And there's a bowl as well, you said.
Yes, yeah. Yes. There is a dry, flaky substance both on top of the altar and in the bowl.
Oh, man, it says it's Waterburger, so... I don't know. This is obviously some sort of lost cooking utensils that they've been using. I don't know. So, yeah, I mean, I'll pick up the things that I can and take them outside. And they're obviously old. And
yeah, so sort yeah, of... basically the knife and the bowl, the yeah. altar is made of solid stone, nothing you could easily move.
They're obviously dirty. I mean, this one's got all this red stuff crusted on it. So I'll go and give them a good wash, I guess.
Careful not to cut yourself. We know what you're like with the washing up.
I'm not the one who needs the blue plasters on my fingers.
Remember the three-sink system. Wash, rinse, sanitize, dry.
All right. Someone was puzzling things out by reading the book. What was that roll?
I'm about to make the roll.
Roll plus reason.
Ooh, I roll well to compensate for my complete lack of reason. 9.
9. Okay, you can ask one thing.
Just realized I've only rolled 9s tonight.
Mm-hmm. What is this? What does this mean? How can I get in, out, or pass? Who's in control here? Which enemy before me is most dangerous? What is its weakness? What should I keep my eyes out for? And how does blank fit into blank? These are you can learn one thing from the
book. Okay.
And you skim the section also about how it reproduces.
Mm.
It's not pleasant.
I just want to know, the reason I was skimming that is, are these bodies about to come back to life and try to eat us?
Okay, so you're asking, maybe what this means.
Yes.
Okay, sure. Yes. After you're looking into this section of how it reproduces, apparently these guys might have had a little... a backdoor action by some frogs.
Oh my.
And may have eggs in them that are incubating.
Burn them.
The bites also introduce the eggs into a body as well.
Burn them. Burn the bodies right now.
I see. As he says that, I just grab like practically a small bucket of the oil we use for frying, a lighter, just toss it on top of the corpse and light.
Put them in the corner first!
So you're basically fry cooking these guys.
Yep.
Alright.
It's just like caviar, only deadly.
Okay, so as the boiling oil hits their bodies, you notice that these little tadpole-like things are starting to stream out of their mouths and out of their noses. You're making sure to hose that all down with the boiling oil.
And lighting the boiling oil on fire.
Burn them all.
Well, this type of oil is not flammable. So.
What?
Yeah.
What kind of nanny state are we living in?
Cooking oil isn't flammable.
If it were flammable, there would be a lot more answers.
Tim, just get me the good stuff that burns.
What do you mean oil isn't flammable?
Cooking oil is not flammable. But it is incredibly high temperature coming out of your deep fryer vats.
Yep. Tempest, get me the good stuff that burns.
Do we have any oil that might burn?
Okay, so you're going to be looking for items. This is poking around.
Okay.
Roll plus luck.
Roll that now? Okay.
Yep. Roll plus luck.
Ooh, luck. I have a minus one to luck.
Damn it, Tempest. Why do we keep giving you these jobs?
I'm trying to take initiative, but I could take initiative if there was someone to be social at. That's a 7. No, it's a 6.
Ooh. There's neither nothing in the area or... Okay, you find nothing and I get a point onto my hard move.
Oh, great.
Yeah, hard moves are when I do nasty things to you guys that are unavoidable.
Someone get me an enemy to talk to so I'll be useful.
Bert, is our oil special?
Can I just,
special?
Drop the lighter because... on top of his corpse?
Cooking oil doesn't burn, man. That's the whole point, because you get that stuff up to 350, 400 degrees.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm lighting it on fire. I'm just saying, I introduce a flame to burn his actual
you,
flesh.
But my direct experience says otherwise.
It does. Cooking oil does not catch on fire from just throwing a match at it. It absolutely does not. I am a trained chef, dude. If you guys are using some awful oil that catches on fire, it's not what you normally use in a restaurant.
All right.
Well, I'm going to come out of the back with my the bowl and everything, and I'm going to sniff the air. And did somebody order out at the Black Dragon?
Oh, thank God you're here.
Yeah, the smell is very similar.
Get something that lights quickly. Oh, God, they're multiplying. Keep chucking oil.
To be specific, cooking oil can burn, but not from something like just a match.
Yes.
There wasn't a flamethrower or something in that cabinet, was there? That would be really
explosives.
Useful right about now.
You got bricks of explosives.
Not as good.
You're killing the things which are coming out when you pour the oil on them, right? I mean, they're dying.
Are we?
I have X amount of oil, and I assume this is a massive carcass.
Let's see. I'm trying to rack my brain for what's flammable in the store. There's actually quite a lot of things. Probably some of the cleaning fluids.
Yes, quickly bring me cleaning fluids.
Remember, you're burning all the corpses.
Yeah. Unfortunately, unless someone else is poking around, did not find anything flammable in the in that nature. All of your stuff is apparently all natural.
Okay.
You have vinegar to clean things with.
Okay. I make it worse.
I look at the drunks who were in here before.
Mm-hmm.
I still got alcohol?
As in, did they leave them around?
Well, they were still in here, weren't they?
No.
Had the place completely cleared out.
Yeah, you had cleared everything.
Oh, okay, alright.
But if you want to poke around in the lobby to see if maybe someone left them.
Sure, maybe somebody left a Starbucks cup with vodka in it instead by mistake. I mean, it's not going to be much.
Sure, go ahead. Give me a poke around roll.
Why are we looking for burning things? What are we doing to these? Are you all in on it as well? Am I the only one? Is this some sort of hazing the new guy thing? I can't see because Josh is on. Wait. Yeah, that's enough. That's a 7.
7, okay.
Oh, that's
Find a minor item. Okay, so my choice. What you'll find is, in fact, it is a grande size latte cup that's got pure grain alcohol in it. Some white lightning.
And I also find a minor thing to keep his choice as well, because I'm my king of the road. Oh no,
a
Zippo
lighter.
Whenever you sleep, wherever you sleep is considered a safe place. No, when you poke around, you find a minor thing. Meh.
All right, yes. Find a Zippo lighter as well.
Well, there we go. I'll go and give them to the other two, and then.
Well, I mean, Brenda's dead, and she was smoking, so.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, they're all going to have lighters as well. Cigarettes burn. I hand the cigarettes to them as well.
Okay, if you're handing us all this stuff, I just go ahead, while my character goes ahead and pours this directly on the corpse, which he's been pouring oil on, but I assume there's still crap tons of these things coming out. And then just throw the lighter on it.
Okay, that starts to burn then, since you've got an ignition source that'll keep the fire there for long enough, the rest of the oil does burn at this point.
Okay, yeah.
So a boosh! Yeah, you get a little fire at first, and then whoosh! So the rest of it catches. Unfortunately, this does cause the sprinkler systems to go off.
Damn it.
Oh, don't worry though. If you ever tried to put out an oil fire with water,
doesn't work.
Yeah.
So they're still burning nicely, but the fire is starting to move across the floor as the oil is breaking up and taking the fire with it.
Baking soda! I yell out the counting out the
closet while I'm trying to make the call to corporate.
All right,
I think Patrick's going to dive under the counter to look for baking soda.
It's used in the straining for the fry traps.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of it. So,
all right. So you get on the phone, and sure enough, your boss is back, and he's like, "Oh,
this is
you have
store 1693. I would like to request a promotion, pay raise for myself and all my." Employees that live through the night.
He goes, oh, really? He seems to look at a computer screen for a bit and says, "Now, granted, your numbers are a little above last year, but I don't see any reason here for you realize your last employee evaluations that you sent in were pretty lackluster for your entire crew."
Well, do you recall the guys that called earlier, the Ghost Be Gone?
Of course.
They're all dead.
Naturally?
Naturally. Should we live and take care of the problem, I would like a pay raise and promotion for myself and all my employees that live through the night. The ones that live through the night.
He laces his fingers in front of him and gives you a wide smile where you can definitely see rows of sharp teeth now. And he says, "Oh, well, that does put you in a unique position, I suppose. I tell you what, if you can perform an act of heroism for the the company, I will assuredly give you and your crew that have performed in your estimation their duties tonight to the utmost satisfaction. Those promotions will be pending. What I need you to do is that one of those men were carrying an object on them. I need to make sure that object gets sent to me post haste. Use overnight mail."
All right, let me just check on the situation real quick. I lean out.
There's burning bodies going out in the hallway.
Where's the baking soda?
I lean back real quick. Yep, bodies are burning. One more moment, please. Lean out again. It's, did we get a name from the book? You know what we're facing?
Nope.
I don't know. Ask Tempest.
He says, "Oh, don't worry. The item won't burn. What you're looking for is a stone tablet about 3 by 2 inches. Are you familiar with cuneiform? Never mind. It'll look like a bunch of scratches on the surface of it."
"I know of cuneiform, but I do not know how to read it. I think that the flux."
"Make sure that gets posted me in next day mail. Use corporate funds for it, of course. You can open up the platinum card."
All right. Use company funds. I'm jotting this down. 3 by 5 stone tablets.
Your finger's still bleeding all over the place.
Yeah.
I was hoping my finger wouldn't have to bleed again, but apparently that's what makes it work. Alright, you sure they have it on? Anything else we need to know?
Oh, no, I just require the stone tablet.
I lean back again. Any new developments, I call out?
Yeah, the fire's spreading. The sprinklers
are coming. Where's the baking soda?
As you desperately ask Alderman, the fry cook who has to deal with all the baking soda.
Huh? What? Oh, it's over there somewhere. Yeah?
There's a big tub of it with a scoop.
Mm-hmm. I grab the tub and then start heading towards the fire.
All right. Start putting out the small fires.
Does anybody want to give me any other updates for the boss? That was a question asked to everyone at large.
You can use the intercom.
Yeah. Well, I just shouted out the back door. It can't be that big.
Nah.
Nobody has anything, so it's like, all right. We'll see. See if I'll post it if we live. Have a good day, sir. It's been a pleasure serving you. click. All right. I come out. I do my power workout from the back office, clap my hands together, and give come in huddle, gather up troops. It's time to talk business.
Patrick will join the huddle, covered in baking soda.
Yes, you have successfully put out the fires. He doesn't look like any of those tadpoles survived.
All right, good news, bad news. Who wants what first?
Good news.
Bad news.
Good news got first, sorry.
No.
So, good news, I have managed to wrangle us all a raise and promotion.
Hooray!
Bad news, stipulation, we have to live through the night. And, you know, mail this certain object a stone tablet, yay big, I gesture with my hands, that should be on one of these bodies, and we gotta mail that in the morning.
Oh, stone things. There's a big stone thing in the back. Might want to take a look.
I go, why didn't you say something when I said ask for any new developments? Alderman, come on.
Because...
you're hurting me, man.
It's... I presume that corporate knows about it. I mean, they built this place. I got their cooking stuff out. I'm going to try it.
Cooking stuff? I ask questioningly.
Yeah. I've just been washing it up. It's over there drying. You can see it now.
Yeah.
I tilt my head at that.
Yep. So there's like a copper or bronze bowl and a copper or bronze knife that's got an odd curve in it.
You use the 3-sync system, right?
Yeah. I followed my training, boss.
Good, good. Oh, man. Drain the water. We probably don't want to reuse that. Alright, maybe I should call corporate a second time, just in case.
We did tell you it would be a tablet that one of the guys would be carrying. And it's small, 3 inches by 2 inches.
Check the pockets, probably breast first, cargo pouches second. And, you know, we go about checking pockets.
The oily, oily, burning bodies. You want us to stick our hands.
So no one's burning anymore. They've all been put out with the baking soda. Your sprinklers are still going, though, because they go until the water tank is empty.
I'm going to try and read the leather-bound book somewhere dry.
Okay. This is the one you've already been reading?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So if you want to try and read again, you can, but it's at a -1 this time. All right, so yeah.
Oh, so every...
You can try things more than once, but every time you've tried it and try it again, you suffer a further -1 each time.
So if someone else was trying to get more information out of it, would they have more success, or...?
They wouldn't have the initial -1.
Okay.
Like, the idea being is, like, so since you've already read through it, it just wasn't something you caught, and so, you know.
Gotcha. Okay, does someone else want to take a look at this book? Give some fresh...
Yeah, sure. Also, could you look for more flammable fluids? That'd be great, thanks.
We have a coffee station, so I pick up the container of non-dairy creamer, hand it to him. There you go.
Now, as you guys are all readying this, outside you hear a car start up. And who was the person who said early on that you better not have ran into my car?
That was me. The guy with the car.
You hear your car start up. It's got a distinctive purr.
Son of a bitch!
You hear
Everybody
it revving.
Behind the counter!
Yeah, you hear it revving in the parking lot, and then it takes off. And it smashes into the front of the building. Oddly enough, this is not something you've noticed before, but apparently the glass is ballistic glass.
I did not notice that. That's actually hard to tell.
And the car does come, it does crack the awning support outside that all falls down, but it doesn't make it all the way into your lobby. You know, it does bend and, deform the front window and area, but the glass stays intact. Some of it's got cracks running through it, but it did not actually make it all the way through. And you see the glowing eyes of one of these frog things behind the wheel as its tongue licks out a couple of feet onto the windshield as it starts to pull itself out. Actually, it just chewed its way out of the airbag.
I point at it. I look at it distinctly. I motion, thumb across the throat. I memorize specific details around this one. See what it's wearing.
You start to hear other cars start to rev up in the parking lot.
I need a fire team on the ceiling. Let's go, team. High ground. Take them from above. Hopefully.
What? Outside? You want us to go outside?
To be fair, they're coming in here. And also, this is bullshit. When do
random things in nature learn how to drive cars. This is bullshit.
This is the movies, man. They can do whatever they need.
Oh.
Hey, think about this. Do you really think he would have let them smash his car up?
Yes, if they were making enough, paying him enough for the thing. I mean, he could buy a new car. Or perhaps it's a stunt car made to look like his car. I don't know.
I think it's time I used my special ability.
I'm going to say something as I'm climbing towards the roof. All right. Patrick, they obviously don't know how to drive as they crashed into the building. Alan? Sure, it's a story. Why don't you play your role, grab up a gun, and start shooting stuntmen? You probably get paid for it. Should I make a roll for that or anything?
All right, so Steven, you're going to the roof. You've got the keys to unlock the padlock. What do you want to make a roll? I mean, what other than opening and going to the roof, what are you doing? I mean, just saying those things is not a...
Well, I mean, if you wanted me to make a roll for...
I'd like to make a convincing roll.
Yeah, I'll let him do
it. If you're trying to convince, sure, you can try and convince him. Yeah, that is a convince roll. They do have a convince versus PC. Let me find that real quick.
If he fails, can I also try and convince him?
It's just the convince roll, and it's just to do stuff if things happen.
That's it.
It's the same thing, roll plus affinity.
I'm going to roll, well, my affinity is minus two, so I'm swinging for the fences, but it's,
I got this.
Well,
you know, question, though. My special move of career student, do I have to pay to use that?
You have to pay a lore, yes.
You have lore at the moment?
I will pay my one lore to do a
friendly
speech.
No, I'm sorry. Career student is not a lore one. That's just one of your two that you got to choose. So, no, you don't have to spend a lore for that.
Okay, then I will go ahead and roll using reason to explain to him, yes, you're clearly in a movie. Just...
All right, sure. Yeah, you're pointing out these facts to him. Go ahead and make your roll.
I'll let him roll, yeah.
Eight. 7 or 9. The target, so you, Richard, get to choose one of the following.
It's 9.
A 9, same thing. You can choose to now believe them and get no gain from it. Or you can refuse to believe what he's saying and you act under pressure now.
It's completely insane. You're saying okay. This is...
All right, so you give me an act under pressure roll.
Roll
plus reason.
I don't know.
So yeah, you still don't believe him.
Why? This is, I mean, this sort of thing doesn't happen in real life. Why would it? That's an 8. So
an 8. You flinch, hesitate. Yeah, so that's exactly what you're doing. You're standing there, just basically saying this doesn't happen in real life.
Yeah. Man, I've been all over the world. I've never seen anything like this anywhere, ever. Not even in France, where it was weird. They had more frogs than you could possibly think. This is... Yeah.
Can I make a convinced attempt as well, or is it one go?
You can try, but it's even less convincing. I mean, it's a minus one.
Yeah, but I'm really good at convincing.
I leave it to you.
Yep, go for it.
You can if you want. I mean, essentially, no matter how good you do, though, it's still up to Richard as to whether or not he decides that he's convinced.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yep.
So what do you say differently as you roll?
Apparently something not very convincing.
What did you roll?
A 3 and a 1.
Wow, yeah, no, that's actually bad.
That's a fail.
Yeah, that's a fail. Let's see.
If you fail, when I miss, lose a point of trust with you.
Yeah. I do get a plus one affinity, but it still doesn't amount to much.
Nope, so
5 total.
Yeah, that's a fail. So, the trust goes down between
now, you. Now you're just hazing me. This is something you've all set up to try and...
Yeah, we're hazing you. So we're going to the roof, right, boss? Roof.
Yeah, if I unlock the roof...
It's the... Oh, right, lost end. We'll go to the roof and...
Maybe they'll have choppers with the cameras on them out there.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, so who else goes out to the roof?
I will go out to the roof, but not first.
Don't worry, your fearless leader is going first.
Did anybody search the body for the thing that the boss asked for?
Nope.
Not yet. Nope.
Go do that, Alan?
All right. Yeah, I go search for the thing. And, oh, you got the keys to the padlocks, so don't need to search for that.
So you are going to poke around when you get a chance. Go ahead and roll that. On the roof, a couple of things of interest. You do definitely, everything is dark. I mean, it is, no lights are on out there. No lights are on anywhere except for your lights with your backup generator that's still running. So it is dark, dark out there. There's almost no moon to speak of. And you can see all these lantern light eyes moving around in the darkness, keeping low. But you also see many of these lantern light eyes behind the seats of cars, which they are now kind of lining up all around your establishment, and they're revving up the engines. And you get a small, small sinking sensation as across the street from you, which is normally a truck station repair start stop, a couple of them have just climbed into a big rig. And are revving up the engine.
Well, I'm
the
lost,
second
boss.
Thing of interest interest is that Nancy has thrown the chains apparently off the front door, is walking out the front. She's got something clutched in either of her hands, and she has a vest filled with those little those plastic explosives wrapped around her. She's got two cigarettes in her mouth. She walks out the front door.
Only two?
None of the other guys noticed her strapping up while I was climbing to the roof.
We were kind of busy setting fire to corpses.
No one paid any attention to Nancy.
After the death of Brando, we just stopped caring about the female members of this crew.
They had this really complex backstory.
She's yelling out streams of profanity. Apparently Brenda and her had a thing. She's really mad.
We want to clear dice real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I lose everything. Whoops. All right.
All right, first of all, Richard, go ahead and poke around.
I got an 8 when I rolled.
Perfect.
It might take some time to find. I might get burned by the oil.
It just takes a little bit longer to find. You eventually do find it. It was on a neck cord on the guy that got his head ripped off going to the bathroom to check on his boss.
That's easy to remove.
Yeah. It just took a minute to fish it out and find it. Yeah, and it's a little 3-inch by 4-inch clay tablet that's got all kinds of lines kind of etched in the clay.
Hmm. It doesn't look like any of the stuff that's in the
no different kind of writing.
All right, well, I make sure to collect up the bowl and the cookery knife as well to carry with me.
And here's where I use a hard move. I'm going to spend one of my hard moves, and what happens is Nancy starts to get surrounded by these creatures as she's just yelling off these extremities to them, and click, there's a huge explosion.
Sorry, but I've got to point out, you said extremities. So she's saying arms, legs, hands.
Yeah.
Brenda was kind of a foil. Without her, she's crazy.
All right. So you have just saw a fellow employee just explode herself all over the place in the roof. You guys make a hard move. Let's see if this affects you.
I feel we should all be wearing sunglasses all of a sudden. As limbs fly past us.
So, what does this do?
It's act under pressure. This is just another getting freaked out roll.
I'm cool.
Well, I suck.
12.
Yeah. I rolled a 12. Yeah. I'm fine. Yeah. I got a 14, actually, I think.
He's like, yeah, you know, I asked her out last week and she turned me down.
No, it's like, I've seen some stuff. This is not.
By the way, high five, cold logic guys with +2 reason. We're really kicking ass here.
Yep. Body parts go flying.
Why no love for the empathetic people?
Her left arm, her left arm lands on the roof. Bits and pieces of the frog people are just splashed all over the place.
And, I whisper, good job, soldier. But did you have to take out my car too?
And now wait. The truck is coming out of the parking lot next door. It is starting to rev up.
I got a 6. Is that a fail?
6, yes.
I assume the body part hits me in the face.
You're going to take a level of shock.
Okay. How does that work?
Well, if you look on your sheet, the first level of shock, let's see here.
Sanity damage, you mean?
Sanity damage, yeah. Sanity. Sorry.
So you're now startled.
And I think that's a minus one to your actions while you are startled.
Okay.
I see.
All right, so what are you guys doing upstairs? That truck will definitely go through the wall of your establishment.
I call down, reattach the chains, and back me up here. And by back up, I mean bring more guns and ammo. And I start, you know, going to town shooting things, targeting the big truck.
I also target the big truck, but I also, if there's any body parts that are still up on the roof of us, I kick them off, because I don't want worms crawling on us while we're shooting.
Right, so you kick her arm off. All right, so you guys go ahead and do some damage dealing. What's that move called again?
Resort to violence.
Yeah. Everybody resort to violence that's up there.
Resort to violence.
9.
10?
Okay, 9 and 10. You guys are using guns. Let's see. All right, you're concentrating fire on this big rig. And it is, it's still sitting there, and they're revving up the engine. They hit the clutch, and it kind of rockets towards you. You blow out the windows. You riddle the creature inside the cab, or two creatures in the cab, with gunfire as they're just kind of highlighted as they're bouncing around with all the bullets that are going into them. Unfortunately, the rig is still on a collision course coming right at you.
Can I fire in such a way that I make his body jerk, turning the steering wheel, careening somewhere else, hopefully into the path of other critters?
Okay, let me think about this for a second. Try to do something quickly, precisely. Give me an act under pressure.
No problem.
What'd you get?
Let's see. Act under pressure? Actually, what is act under pressure?
Roll and reason. Roll plus reason.
Oh, 11.
11. Okay, no problem. You get enough of the tires on the one side of the vehicle that it starts careening out of the pathway and starts running over some more of the fog creatures. It continues on until it hits the grocery store behind your building and just basically keeps going right through.
Damn it.
I'm like, I'm the boss for a reason.
That is where I got my ingredients.
All right. Now, someone has been pouring over the book again. Who was that?
I gave it to Eldon.
All right. So, no, Eldon, you couldn't have not have been pouring over it if you were.
Yeah, I'm busy.
Yeah.
If he's busy, then I will have been. I'm not doing anything else.
Okay, yeah. Now, you've already tried to pour over it once before. Was that you?
Yes. I'm getting a little confused. So,
minus one.
And a minus because I'm startled.
Yep.
So, minus two. I have a reason of zero.
Swing for the fences.
Is it possible for me to succeed without in some way making the book worse for everyone? By magically detracting from the amount of information in it.
Unless you're going to eat the book as a result of your failure, I'm not sure how you would detract from the information.
There's no...
6.
Okay, so let's see.
Oh, one off.
So you're just too confused and just too much going on that you can really focus on the book. Nothing further.
Mm-hmm.
Your eyes just keep going back to the how they breed section. As you just get the drive heaves, considering what those two poor guys must have had to gone through.
Yeah. I keep checking myself to make sure I didn't get bitten and not realized it.
Since Eldon's backing me up, hopefully Alan followed directions and rechained the door.
I don't know. Did he?
I haven't got the key for the padlocks that they were using on the door.
You don't need a key to lock it again.
They didn't use padlocks. They used chains and crowbars to keep it all in place.
So they just... Well, then, I don't know... I guess I can take it apart.
Yep.
Oh, no, sorry, put it back together. Yeah, that's what I meant to say.
Put it back.
Oh, you can't help but notice that bits of Nancy are all over the front window.
You assume it's Nancy.
Yeah.
It's probably mixed in with other things. Do they have different colored blood?
Yeah.
It's okay, weird. Then yeah, you're pretty sure it's Nancy. Pretty sure. Alright. Main threat taken out, I start doing around the building, and luckily they have very bioluminescent eyes to make them stand out in the dark.
So you guys are basically just going to hold them off, taking pot shots for the rest of the night?
Well, yes. Also aiming for any of them that are using cars right now immediately.
Right. Okay. You've got plenty of ammo up here. You got your AKs. Basically, you guys are just taking pot shots the rest of the night, keeping them at bay, keeping them out of further cars, because that seems to be the only way they might be able to breach your location. And your ammo pretty much lasts till dawn. Before dawn, they do kind of slink away.
Oh. Yep, they're going to ground. Let's see. I call down, now that dawn is coming up. They seem to be going to ground. Does the book say anything about where they would go?
I don't know, you take a look at the book.
I remember the book didn't say... I don't remember anything like that. I know the book said something earlier about them not liking sunlight.
And something about how they reproduce. Yes.
I know they don't like sunlight. I think that was in the book.
Eldon, what'd you roll?
I rolled a 7.
Okay, a 7. So what you find is... Your friend is still kind of poring over the book, fascinated about the breeding habits. But you do think to look in the automobile that the Ghost Begons drove here. They got a GPS on there. Hey, look, it's got its history on here.
I see. So where was the last place they went to?
National Forest. Apparently the car was parked there. You have no idea. From there where they went.
Okay, then we head in the opposite direction of National Forest.
Well, it's dawn is coming up. There's still the bomb outside with poor Nancy. It's still bits of it are still flaming in your parking lot. Through your drive-in, a car pulls in and just starts ordering over the intercom. I'll take a Whataburger. Biscuits on a croissant, coffee, 2 creamers, 4 sugars, decaf steak.
So,
does his car nudge a flaming tire out of the way as he drives by?
He's completely not noticing the wreckage around him.
This sounds accurate to the customers I've had to deal with. Very accurate, I must say.
And, oh hell, it'll blow my diet, but some onion rings. Hello? Hello?
If we still got our headsets on, this is...
Yes, you do.
So, we are closed for business. Whataburger regrets.
What do you mean closed? It says 24 hours. Your lights are still on.
There was a fry cook fire.
Holiday hours. Don't you know it's All Saints Day?
Staff training. We use every excuse.
Right. Eventually, he's...
The customer doesn't listen to any of them. I'm going to write the corporate.
Corporate's going to hear about this.
Fine. Quickly, let's make him his meal.
If you wish to report us to corporate, sir, my name is Nancy.
Good job, Mr. Alderman.
All right. And so, the wrap up. Do you indeed put the little tablet in the mail?
Yes, I do.
All right.
Do we? We got a promotion on the line. Of course we do.
Can we not give it to him? Is he no?
We have to mail it.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, he's off in a special secret region of the world, not Vlad.
We use the handcuffed suitcase briefcase delivery method. It's very expensive, but you know it's the best, most express mailing method there is.
Mm-hmm. So we cut forward a few months as sorry, give me a second here. As Travis, you are now the new franchise owner and of a Whataburger franchise. You are in the secret backroom pantry just as they laid out the new stone for the establishment. And your first person who came in to apply is laid out across the stone, gagged, arms and legs tied to the end as you're holding up the knife to consecrate your new Whataburger.
Of course, of course.
I don't remember this when we got here.
This is why I was the second person to apply. Actually, that's probably the day manager. I was the third or so.
All right. And
can't
so,
I just use the person with the least qualifications?
Oh, you chose. However it is, you chose.
Probably something about your firstborn. Well, not firstborn, obviously. First.
Alan Alderman is continually wondering when this movie is going to show up on the big screen or TV. He did have to sign some release forms.
I specifically said that I didn't want my likeness used.
Oh, no, they're not going to use your likeness. They're going to put in an actor for this, of course.
Oh, I mean, all right. Yeah.
And I guess he continues to while away as a fry cook at... the new improved Whataburger.
Chief Fry Cook, thanks.
Chief Fry Cook, yes, they did give you a
promotion. Yeah,
I requested for my new position to be called the Grill Master.
Patrick Grossman is now the new Grill Master for the.
Did I take him with me?
Whataburger chain, you could have.
Yeah,
he was the first person to apply at your.
Oh, God, no.
He was already an employee. He was transferred. No application necessary.
Mm-hmm. And so what happens to Mr. Tempest Wood? He now has strange dreams and fascinations about being penetrated by frogs.
Yes, he is currently in an insane asylum for extreme paranoia.
Yes.
You're an entertainer. You've got to be able to turn this to your advantage. Songs about deep, dark, macabre stuff.
They let him out every year to make a film.
You've got to be able to do something like that, man.
No, every year they let him out to make a new movie, and then they put him back in until he's got a new movie.
They let me out to do a once-a-year performance at Necronomicon.
They wheel you out in a straitjacket on Jackal.
Yes.
Where he's really committed
to that performance. They're all
where
saying.
He propositions the fuzz, the furry crowd that are dressed as frogs.
Yes.
Now right. The big question, though, is the movie actually made?
Oh no! You keep watching for it, and then the movie just never comes out. And of course, it was a gas line explosion. That's how it's reported in the papers, anyway. Gas line explosion.
Darn, I was looking forward to that.
Great.
The only other real big news in the day was apparently a 9-year-old child got his eye put out while trick or treating. That was the other big story of the day.
Good job.
Oh, our town, so delightful.
Was he then torn to death by packs of rabid lawyers all trying to get in on the case?
Yes.
Whoops, didn't mean to do that. Never mind.
Yes.
So, even at this point, it's official. The pizza chains are the bastion of hope for this town because they provide the only good and reputable service, or all the tomato sauce is actually just like one.
Could be both. All right, so that was a very quick introduction to Tremulous by Reality Blurs, which I only used the very basic rules because I didn't have enough time to go through the whole book. But hopefully that was entertaining.
That was
fun.
Yeah.
I worked too many years in fast food at the beginning. I just had to do it.
It actually made for pretty fun setting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was going to say, revealing some of that stuff over a period of time in a sort of campaign thing, that would be awesome.
Yep.
Anytime the phone over the graveyard shift, I've imagined serving zombies and vampires their coffee and donuts while they go off to their night shift. And then having to barricade the doors and defend said zombies and vampires from religious fanatics.
What were you going to say, Richard?
I was just going to say, I mean, obviously the phone only worked with a blood sacrifice because it was connecting to something else. But yes, that sort of thing, putting it, going through it slowly in a campaign, going, ow, you caught your finger on the phone again.
Again.
I
didn't want to, but I was thinking about, you know, chopping off somebody else's finger, one of the dead guys, and using the dial.
Well, you apparently have someone on a slab to commemorate the latest Whataburgers, so I guess you could just take the hand after that.
Yeah, it's only good while while it's fresh or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, the ritual the ritual opening of the Whataburger is what makes everything taste so good. It takes sacrifice.
Something about the sort of people who have just had their soul destroyed from working in fast food works so well in this kind of apocalypse situation.
It really does make perfect sense.
And we've got the full spectrum of the characters. We have the character who's gone into the occult side and is totally on board with it. The character who's gone completely insane. The one who's chirpy and somehow okay with everyone, and the one who's completely oblivious to everything.
And I like how only, like, what was it, one of us had any affinity?
Yeah.
Because I didn't get to use it much.
That's fast food workers right there.
I think the forced cheerfulness
wears on a person.
Yeah.
The system's interesting. I think I like it. We didn't exactly do much in the way of contested roles. Are they a big thing in this system?
There is no contested roles. Only the player's role. I don't touch anything. What occasionally happens is if you roll really poorly, it gives me what's called a hold. And I can spend a hold on what are called hard moves, which are moves that you can't do anything about. So I spent them on basically killing Nancy, having the tractor trailer, you know, aimed at you and sort of things like that. I put you in peril by spending these hard moves.
Okay.
This is based on the Apocalypse World engine. Yeah. Which is big thing. Lots of different hacks for it.
Mm-hmm.
A Sentinels one, which came out just the other week.
Really?
A Sentinels of the first one.
I'm going to have to get that.
I should ask. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks. I have to say, one thing I do really like about it is this sort of, for the puzzle things out on the reader person, the little list of here's all the things you can get detail. I think the list could do with being slightly more fleshed out. But I think the idea is great.
Yeah.
The generic ideas for if you don't have ideas of your own.
Really. Absolutely.
Something that I've noticed lately with some game designers that I sometimes game with and do things with is that they use Apocalypse World engines to do playtesting for scenarios for other systems, just to try out the plot line to see.
That's a clever idea.
Yeah, because it's simple, it's quick, and it allows a little bit more players to go wild with certain things, so they get to see how broken things can get. It apparently is a thing now to use Apocalypse Engine to just do playtesting for just about anything.
Makes sense. I was going to ask, we didn't really get to it, but how do you use wealth?
Okay, so if this is an extended campaign, you have to pay for where you're living. It costs so much wealth per month. Buying anything costs a certain number of wealth. Some of your roles will tell you that you have a certain amount of income that you get per month. So your wealth comes in that way. You can spend wealth. I think there is a couple of moves that allow you to spend wealth to do things. But just for a one shot that just went over one night, there was not a lot of use for wealth.
And I have at least one way to gain lore, but how else do you gain lore?
Some of the moves, you get a choice of taking a lore ore. So like the big one I think that you can do that with is, let's see.
Convince on a PC. Convince.
Yeah.
Was if they rolled a 10 plus, then if I do it, I gain a point of lore. Yeah. Because you are convincing me. And essentially, it's a reward for the player acting as another player indicates.
Puzzle things out. A 10 or plus, you can choose 3 questions to ask, or you can gain 1 lore. That's another one that gives you lore.
So you can. It's a good system to support other players in a lot, because that will give each other lore. I'm guessing.
And although it didn't come up, the trust that we did at the beginning, that is the stat that you use if you're trying to help somebody.
It did come up for me.
Did you roll on trust then?
Well, no, I have lead by example, which if you had trust in me, it gave you plus 1.
And then botching the convince, which dropped the trust level between Richard and who was it? Joshua. Yeah, right. And you can end with negative trust with people, which is a lot of fun.
One other question is just system mechanics for those that are interested. What is advancement like?
Advancement is done at the speed of plot. So if I decide this would be a good time to advance everybody, like, so I said time passed and, you know, new things happened here. So I would say, okay, this session was worth an advancement. And what you can do with an advancement, I actually didn't look up because this wasn't going to be anything more than a one shot for tonight. But there is no experience per se. You advance at the speed of the GM wanting you to advance.
Mm-hmm.
But there is an advancement system.
Right.
Going from other Apocalypse Worlds ones, they do have XP, but their advancements are choose another move from your list, add one to one of your stats to a maximum of 3. Pick a move from another player's book.
Yeah, here we go.
Sorry, another non-used player's book. Stuff like that so that you don't step on anybody else's toes.
So for Tremulous, you can choose one of the following for each advance. You can increase any of your basic attributes by 1. Select a new move on your playbook, eliminate a mental disorder. So we had one mental thing come up. So what you ended up doing was taking in -1 to your actions because of the mental thing. But if you use the full rules, which are optional and I didn't use during this, you could choose to take a disorder instead of taking the negative.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so you could get rid of disorders by using an advancement. And then the last thing is select a move from another playbook.
So, each individual advancement is very powerful.
Yes.
You can only, in other systems, whether it's for Tremulous or not, you can only select each advancement once or something. So, you could only add to one stat once over the course of the character's life. I don't know if it's the same with Tremulous or not.
No, increase any of your attributes by 1. Any attribute can be increased over play by up to +2 to a maximum of +3.
Okay,
for example, if you begin play with a -1 reason, you can eventually increase your reason to +1. If you start with a +2 might, you can increase to a +3 might. So there is a cap on it. And then selecting a move from another playbook, you can't do until your 6th advance.
Wow.
So,
as far as stacking goes, it seemed to me that the fate of the dice is the driving force rather than skills.
Little bit.
Yeah. So the way that it works is a 7 or higher, you succeed. So this is actually one of those games where you're actually more likely to succeed than fail.
Right.
At least if you have any plus.
If you have a skill.
If you have any kind of skill at all. Right.
If you're slightly more likely to fail if you have like -2 affinity.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think, at least I did.
Yeah. The average on the 2 dice is 7, so on average, you got
16. And we went through it pretty quick. That's all. Did you record this, Bert?
Yes, it's recording. Mm-hmm. All right, and if I didn't, I'm pretty sure Richard or someone else might have.
Yes, I have a backup recording.
So oh, and how you get hurt, since I don't roll dice, is like when you choose to do harm, if you roll poorly, harm is done against you.
Right. Also, if you roll well, you can say, like, hey, I want to add an additional piece of pain to the other person. Well, then you have to suffer one pain yourself in retaliation. So push and
shove. Go ahead, Joshua.
So if you don't roll dice, and we only get hurt if we try to harm the others, what would happen if, say, one of the frogs just jumped one of us? How would that work?
Oh, well, it depends. If I have any points to play a hard move, I can just do damage to you by spending a hard move.
Right.
I don't roll anything. I just say you take this much damage.
There's also soft moves, which would be, hey, the frog is attempting to jump you rather than the frog jumps you. And when the frog attempts to jump you, you might roll... I don't see it on this list, but something like dodge out of the way. Act under pressure would probably be the way to do that. Just so it would be, hey, you failed. You're going to suffer damage for failing to act under pressure, something like that.
Yep.
Regarding damage, would this, his like 1 point of sanity startled actually have gone away because it says recovers naturally over time?
Yeah, but over the course of one night is not time.
Well, yeah, but...
But if you choose to take one of the actual descriptive penalties instead of taking the negative, the only way to get rid of that is to actually going to a doctor or using an advancement to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. If you just take it as damage, quote-unquote, it does go away over time.
Do you actually have to get a certain level before you have to take a descriptive, or if it's any?
No, you get to choose.
Because it's, you know...
It's basically a permanent descriptor on your character until you can advance it away or get it treated away. In the book, it actually suggests you don't take one until you're going to die if you don't take it.
Okay. Final question. The descriptors. My car was reliable. And there's also some that say unreliable.
Right.
What does that have effect
there, mechanically? There are certain moves that the GM have that's like, if something is tagged with unreliable, you know, I can do this. If it's reliable, you know, et cetera. So those descriptors can come up in moves.
Mm-hmm.
Also, tags or descriptors are... they can be imposed by you failing a roll or got by making a really good roll. If you had a gun and you failed, rather than miss, the GM might say, hey, you're out of ammo. And that's the tag for that. And then you'd have to poke around to try and find more ammo. And that would remove the tag of out of ammo, for instance.
And there are Apocalypse World hacks for just about everything. I mean, there's someone's got an online Shadowrun one. Richard just told us about the Sentinels of the Multiverse one. This is Tremulous. I've got a couple of them that are coming up. The one that I really want to do as soon as I get the PDF version of it from the Kickstarter is, it's a blaxploitation 1970s action film. I so want to run that. and there's a cyberpunk one that I did in for too, that I'm waiting for the files on. There's probably a hack for this system for just about any genre you want to think of. Dungeon World is the fantasy one, which is quite good. One of the developers that I game with play tested his module using Dungeon World. It was quite fun.
Okay. Yes.
Well, thanks for running, Bert. That was a very fun session.
Well, thank you. I had a great time. I figured it's traditional to have some kind of horror thing on Halloween going on, so there we go.
Yep, that was fun. Right.
Yep. Appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
You too.
Thank you.
Fun, man.
Music in this podcast was created by Kevin MacLeod. More great music can be found at his website at incompetech.com. If you enjoy the show, we would love to hear from you. You can find links to our public forums, the software that we use, and other information at our homepage at bluemagic.com. That's BLUMAGIK. Reviews on iTunes, recommends at rpgpodcasts.com, and email to steamsteelmurder@gmail.com are also appreciated. Thank you for listening.